then that meaning comes from him. It comes from outside of us to us. And our job is to live our life in relationship with God so that we can discover and experience his meaning for our life. As Solomon goes through the book of Ecclesiastes, he keeps looking at life from the perspective of, well, maybe there is no meaning. Then what does life look like when there is no meaning? Remember in chapter 1, he tried to explain life with, first of all, he looked at how it just goes on and on and on and on, repeats itself, repeats itself, repeats itself, generation after generation. People work and they live and they die and that's it. And he says it's just a monotonous cycle. And then he said, I'll try to figure out what meaning to life is intellectually. I'll pursue it. I'll see if I can understand just by getting out of the picture, but just by my own intellect come to some significant meaning to life and purpose to life. And he says, that road leads nowhere. It comes to vanity. Everybody might come up with a different issue, a different meaning. That doesn't mean that it really exists out there. It just means in my own mind I've come up with something. He said, that doesn't make it true. And then he said, I'll just try the opposite of intellectual pursuit. I'll just goof off. I'll just dope out. No. Because maybe saying that there is no meaning to life, maybe the best way I can prove that is just by living a life that's all goofed up and I'm spaced out on drugs. Maybe I'm more in contact with reality there than I am trying to figure it out. And he comes to the end of that one and he says, that's not satisfying either. That's as meaningless as everything else. And then in chapter 2, he talks about, maybe it's pleasure. Now, I'll read this from chapter 2. He says, I enlarged my works, I built houses for myself, I planted vineyards for myself, I made gardens and parks for myself, and I planted in them all kinds of trees. I made ponds of water for myself to which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. And he goes on, he says, I got male singers and female singers, and I just had the best life God offered. By the way, he could do it. He was Solomon. He was the king. He had more money than Trump could dream of, and all of the taxes came to him. And he had all the time in the world to explore, either intellectually or spaced out on drugs or just trying to experience all the pleasure he could. And he said, that road also led me to, I don't know. I don't think pleasure's the meaning to life. What is it? We come now to chapter 2 with verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 12. As we follow Solomon on this journey to find meaning, somehow I've got to have meaning. It can't all just be nothing. Experience, and that's it. Verse 12. So I turned, he's recounting now what he's done. I turned to consider my wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? What he's saying there is you and I won't be able to improve on all his excursions in defining meaning. We do not have greater intellect. The scripture says he was the wisest man that ever lived. We do not have greater financial resources. We do not have greater power so that we can arrange things with regard to pleasure so that everything that pleasures us, we will be able to experience. He says, you're not going to find anything that I haven't found. And what I found is, you leave God out of the picture, there is no meaning. Verse 13, and I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. In other words, in my struggles, I found out it really is better to be wise. It's better to be smart, to be able to skillfully live life than to be a dopehead. Because, he explains why. Verse 14, the wise man's eyes are in his head. At least the guy who's trying to figure things out and kind of see where he's going a little bit, even though it ends up meaninglessly. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. The person who's spaced out on drugs or just pleasure is just, he hadn't got a clue. At least the wise man with eyes in his head could say, I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that. Verse 15, then I said to myself, this is the kicker. All of these lines of evidence that he has used to prove life is meaningless, this is the most powerful argument for the fact that life doesn't mean a thing, really. Whatever temporary meaning you assign to it, fine. But ultimately, it's nothing. And here's the proof of it. Verse 15. Then I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. I'm going to end up the same place the fool ends up, even though I've spent my life trying to be wise, trying to figure things out. I haven't gotten anything that's all that much advantageous over the fool. And you know what proves it? Look where we end up. I said to myself, as the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been extremely wise? So I said to myself, this too is vanity. He's saying, I live my life with wisdom, and the fool lives his life without wisdom, and we both end up, guess where? Dead. Dead. I am as dead as the fool. Why did I spend my life sacrificing to become wise, to make something of myself, to discover some kind of meaning, when ultimately it's all going to end up the same place? The wise men and the fool are both dead as doornails. Verse 16. There is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool. You ain't going to remember the wise man any more than the fool. Tell you what, go out to Fort Logan. And it's impressive, all of those white stones, row after row after row after row, acre after acre after acre after acre. What does it mean to you? You don't know who was wise. You don't know who was a fool. You don't know, there's no memory of them. You didn't even know them. Even if you knew someone a couple generations away, nobody's going to know who that was. Oh, yeah, I was related to him. Yeah, well, what do you know about him? Not a thing. Was he a wise? Was he a fool? No. Is he better off than everybody else who's buried? Who's to say? They're all as dead as the other one. What does it mean? There's no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool. Inasmuch as in the coming days, all will be forgotten. People have done the most significant of things. Generations later, I don't know, we take it for granted. And how the wise man and the fool alike die. If you needed any evidence to say there's no meaning to life, just walk through the cemetery. Where to get those people? So, and this is where this is where some philosophers have come. So, I hated life. I try to do something that is significant, and it really doesn't have any long-lasting impact. Not that, as I said last week, not that we don't make advances. Of course, the Salk vaccine is wonderful, but people still die. All medical advances are wonderful, but people still get sick. They still die. All technological advances are wonderful. It makes our lives so easy. You know, you can get a sound bar for your TV now. Whoa, isn't that wonderful? But when you're 6 feet under, what does it mean? And did it make your life? Oh, yeah, when you brought it home and you unpacked it and you put it on the mantle there, yeah, whoa, this is great. And 6 months later, you don't even realize you got it. So I hated life. There's no lasting, permanent, deep meaning and purpose that means something more to me than a sound bar. So I hated life, for the works which had been done under the sun was grievous to me. I tried, I really did, I tried to find meaning. Because everything is futile and striving after wind. And if you need proof of that, go to a graveyard. You can't talk to them, you can't relate to them, you don't know them, and you can't even remember them. Well, that's Why don't we just close there on that happy note and go have lunch in the graveyard. Enter this candle. Enter the light that Christ has brought to us, the light that has meaning to us. Now look in verse 24 of chapter 2. Verse 24, he says, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. Now, I don't think he's saying it like Albert Camus says it. Well, make whatever meaning you can out of your life and tell yourself that's meaning to life. No, he's saying this is real. Tell yourself, remind yourself of what? Nothing better than for a man to eat and to drink and to tell himself that his labor is good. Why? Because there's a God that created him and gave him a purpose for his labor on this earth. This also I have seen that it is from the hand of God. If this light of Christ who comes to us and says, I came from heaven, and I'm telling you, you've been created by my Father, and he has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose of love and goodness and meaning. Even your eating and your drinking, it will sustain you for that purpose that he has for you, that purpose of showing his love. Here is that greatest part of that purpose of knowing God. Yes, eat, because God gave it to you. Why? So you could continue to know him. And drink. Why? So you could sustain your life and you could continue to know God. That's the meaning to life. And God has given that to you. Eat and drink, and everything you do, use it to come to know this Creator of yours. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and to drink and to tell himself his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it's from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Who can eat and who can drink? Who can have enjoyment without him? Go downtown, walk into a bar. You having a good time?
Man, am I. I'm having a great time.
You like life?
Yeah,
it's good, isn't it? I get to hang out with my buds, and we have a wonderful time. And then walk by his grave someday, and if he could talk to you, he would say, as Solomon did, it was all vanity. It was temporary, but it wasn't meaningful. And it didn't sustain my life. And I am left here with no God. Who can eat and who can have enjoyment, meaning purposeful, meaningful, lasting, without God? Take God out of the picture of your life. And Solomon says, wisest man who ever lived, he says it's empty, it's vanity, it's meaningless. Verse 26. For to a person who is good in his sight, he's given wisdom and knowledge and joy, while to the sinner, he's given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after wind. What he's saying is not to the person who's morally good. He's saying goodness in the sight of God is someone who says, I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to discover you. I'm willing to have a relationship with you. The sinner in this person is not someone who necessarily does bad things, but the person says, I don't want that. I don't want you in my life. If there's any meaning to it, I'll find it out myself. And God says to the person who wants, notice the first part of that, for to a person who is good in his sight, that is, a person who wants him, wants to know him, he's given wisdom and knowledge and joy. While to the sinner, he's given the task of, that person does what they do in their life. And when they die, if there's any good left, it goes, you know, any material good or any psychological good, it goes to the sinner, the person who doesn't want God in his life, and he just throws it away. And so the conclusion is, what's up with that? It's nothing. If you leave God out of the picture, if God is not the primary relationship in your life, Solomon says your life is meaningless, and deep down somewhere, because you're made in the image of God, you know that's true. So enter light, Christ, who says, I know the meaning to life and the purpose, and it's me, your creator, and we can have a relationship that I will walk with you throughout this whole life. I will accomplish what I want to accomplish in your life, and we will live together forever in infinite love and in infinite joy and in infinite thrill. He's the light. Life without him is darkness. And this light is described in Luke chapter 2. Okay, good, I got 6 minutes. In this picture, let me give you the context. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Here's a good guy trying to do what God wants him to do. And he says, I hope God will send the Messiah. We've been promised the Messiah. I hope he will come and he will bless the nation of Israel. Matter of fact, God, I don't want to die unless I see that light. Unless I see that person, unless I see that Messiah, could you keep me alive until the Messiah comes? And here he is in the temple one day worshiping, and guess who walks in? Mary and Joseph and their child. They're bringing to have him circumcised. And he sees him, and God reveals to him, now you can die. Now you can die. Because I prove to you there's light, there's understanding, there's meaning, there's purpose to life. Verse 29 is Simeon's prayer. Now, Lord, you dost let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. I'm ready to die. For my eyes have seen your salvation. This little child, Jesus, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Who's that? That's us. Unless you're a Jew. And if you're a Jew, he's the fulfillment of the promise he made to your nation. He's a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. He came to this earth through that nation of Israel, and that's their great glory. Our nation produced the Messiah, and you Gentiles now have the light of the Messiah. What is that? I've created you, and you've offended me, and I've paid for your offense on the cross through my Son. And you and I, here's the light. You and I can have a relationship and live together forever in my love. A light. He didn't come to the American or the German ethnicity or the French. He came through Israel to bless all of us. A light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. What's life about? Well, if you leave God out of the picture, it's whatever thing you want to imagine, and it'll be very temporary. But if you come to God through the light, through Jesus Christ himself, who tells you you were created, you didn't just fall off the turnip truck in the process of evolution. I made you, and I have a purpose for you. What's that? That whatever you do, you can experience my love. And you can share that love to others. And when you die, you will live forever. The meaning to life is a relationship with God. And now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light of Christ. We thank you that his blood has made us clean. That his body has taken our sins, and that his gospel of the forgiveness of our sins is our light, and that you, God, are the light of the world, and the whole meaning to our life. In the name of Christ, amen. Please stand for a benediction.